Good morning, and welcome to the CyberSmart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Monday, May 13th, 2024. This is a CyberSmart Morning News Update. I'm your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott, and there was so much news over the weekend that I had to stop looking at news sites because I was running too many tabs open. I actually closed a couple simply because I knew I wouldn't have time to get to them all. So let's take a look at what I got here. So from theregister.com starting off, so we can whip through these seven stories as quickly as we can. Jessica Lyons reporting, ransomware negotiator weighs in on the extortion payment debate with EI Reg. I don't have no idea what that means. Ransomware hit an all-time high last year with more than 60 criminal groups listing at least 4,500 victims, and these infections don't show any signs of slowing. That's probably the worst line in this whole article in the sense of it's not going to get any better. Drew Schmidt is a professional ransomware negotiator and practice lead for the GuidePoint Research and Intelligence Team, or GRIT. That's the team that compiled the above-mentioned 2023 figures. In this role, Schmidt has interacted with all of the major ransomware crews. The Register recently caught up with him to discuss the criminal gang's evolving ransomware tactics, the role he plays in companies' incident response when they have suffered an infection or intrusion, and the larger question of whether ransomware payments should be completely banned. And in this article, there's a full interview here there's a YouTube link on that. This article just kind of gives a highlights of that. So you are certainly welcome to go see that. In addition to the debate over the total payment ban, there's also some controversy surrounding negotiators themselves and whether they should be regulated. The official advice from the feds is that victims should not pay ransom demands, nor should they negotiate with criminals. And as I say all the time, if you're a company, it's up to you to decide what is the best way for you to go going forward if you are indeed a victim of ransomware. And understand the federal government's approach on this, that you are just funding the bad guys, but trust me, they are going to get funded one way or the other because people are going to pay, and you just have to deal with that and come up with help on how to stop people from becoming victims. It's more tactical cyber type of thing. That's kind of what would help with this, but I never see anyone talking about that. So from the article, with the increase in size and scope of ransomware attacks has led to some to call for a complete ban on ransomware payments, Schmidt said the problem is too complex to be solved with a silver bullet like a ban. Absolutely. Hallelujah. That might be part of the solution several years down the road, he opined, but in reality, it's that eliminating ransomware will take a multi-pronged approach. The only piece that really sticks out to me is the incentivizing of improving security, he said. Whether that's through things like cyber insurance, or it's going to be having the federal government provide some tooling that can help small and medium-sized businesses, really it's going to be providing an incentive that can be more proactive about cybersecurity. Absolutely. Highlight that paragraph. That's the last paragraph of the article. Great point. And by being more proactive, it means taking a tactical approach to cybersecurity, and I'll have more of that maybe down the road. All right, darkreading.com. Is CISA's Secure by Design pledge toothless? CISA's agreement is voluntary and, frankly, basic. Signatories say that's a good thing. So what happened, apparently, at the RSA? Well, let's read the article. It'll kind of tell you. This is Nate Nelson reporting for Dark Reading. At 2024's RSA conference last week, brand names like Microsoft, Amazon Web Services, International Business Machines, or IBM, Fortinet, and more agreed to take steps towards meeting a set of seven objectives defined by the U.S.'s premier cyber authority, or CISA. This agreement is a voluntary, non-legally binding anodyne and can be flexibly applied to all or just one of the company's products or services. Still, signees say it may help move the needle to incentivizing good security practice and investments across industries. CISA's Secure by Design pledge consists of areas of improvement split into seven primary categories: multi-factor authentication, default password, reducing entire classes of vulnerability, how you doing that, security patches, vulnerability disclosure policy, CVEs, and event evidence of intrusions. Okay, and now if the evidence of intrusion shows how it provides intelligence on how companies are getting targeted and breached, I'm all for that. The pledge contains nothing revolutionary and has no teeth whatsoever. Well said. But for those involved, that's beside the point. Quote, "While they may not have direct authority, I think that there is an indirect authority by starting to define what the expectation is," says Chris Henderson, Senior Director of Threat Operations at Huntress, another signee. All right, that's fine. But point being, do we have to have this? Do we need Is it really the federal government, a federal government entity, of which I used to belong for 20 years, to tell us, to tell companies to protect their stuff? I don't think so. But again, this is one of these, hey, look what we're doing. We are really taking things, making them safe. We are, and here's more from Henderson. I think the Secure by Design pledge is a really interesting approach to private and government partnerships to try to drive not regulation, but change what the expectation is for reason. Okay. I don't know where to go with this. It's interesting to see if we'll hear anything beyond this, that these companies signed it. But will it actually have an impact? Again, I get to the point that one of the things from a recommendation standpoint that I agree with on this is, and this is something someone told me at a conference, is give tax subsidies for people to do the right thing. Make it more carrot, less stick. You know, provide incentives for people to do the right thing. That may be monetary, it may be regulatory, or not regulatory, maybe monetary, it may be, I don't know, tax-based, something. But I have a hard time believing that a pledge to CISA is going to fix our problem. But hey, I hope I am proven wrong. Cyberscoop.com, AJ Vicens. Boeing confirms attempted $200 million ransomware extortion attempt. The attempt was one of multiple extremely large ransom demands made by Lockbit over the years, authorities said. The cyber criminals who targeted Boeing using the Lockbit ransomware platform in October 2023 demanded a $200 million extortion payment, the company said on Wednesday. Boeing confirmed to CyberScoop that it is the unnamed multinational aeronautical and defense corporation referenced in an indictment unsealed Tuesday by the U.S. Department of Justice. The indictment, which identified Dmitry Yurevichich Koroshevich, whatever his last name is, as the main administrator and developer behind the Lockbit ransomware operation. It was part of a sweeping international array of actions against the Russian national that included sanctions in the U.S., UAK, and Austria. So Boeing's bad weeks continue. Now, Boeing did decline further comment and referred questions to the FBI, who also did not comment. So again, the point being, it's unfortunate for Boeing that this happened. But what would be more valuable to any of this is how did Lockbit get in the system? What's the indicator of compromise? What is the methodology? What is the postmortem? We never get any of that. I don't understand why we can't get that, but okay. More from CISA. This is from bleepingcomputer.com, Sergey Gatlin. Black Basta ransomware breached over 500 organizations worldwide. Okay. I guess they didn't pledge to be secure all the time. CISA and the FBI said on Saturday, that Black Basta ransomware affiliates breached over 500 organizations between April 2022 and May 2024. In a joint report published in collaboration with the Department of Health and Human Services and the Multi-State Information Sharing and Analysis Center, or MSISAC, the two federal agencies added that the gang also encrypted and stole data from at least 12 out of 16 critical infrastructure sectors. Not good. Black Basta affiliates have targeted over 500 private industry and critical infrastructure entities, including healthcare organizations in North America, Europe, and Australia. Black Basta emerged as a ransomware as a service operation in April 2022. Its affiliates have since breached many high-profile victims, including German defense contractor Rheinmetall, Hyundai's European division, UK technology outsourcing company Capital, industrial automation company and government contractor ABB, and Toronto Public Library and American Dental Association, Sobeys, Knuff, Yellow Pages Canada. That list goes on. After the Conti cyber group cybercrime syndicate shut down in June 2022 following a series of embarrassing data breaches, it split into multiple groups, one of them being believed to have been Black Basta. So the point here being, let's not think ransomware is going away anytime soon. Let's not think that people pledging to do better to CISA is going to help any of this. The only way this is going to work is if we start to share intelligence on the methodology of which the ransomware actors are working. Again, as I go through this, I still see nothing. It says defenders should keep operating system software and firmware up to date, requiring phishing-resistant multi-factor authentication for as many services as possible, and train users to recognize and report phishing attempts to mitigate Black Basta ransomware attack risk. So there you go. So it must be phishing is how they're getting in. Okay. Once they get in, what's the phishing attack look like? What does the email look like? What's in the code for that? How does it work? Is there ways to detect it? Again, I don't see any reporting on that. Then again, maybe I'm not looking hard enough. Okay. There is a threat. Okay. So on Friday, Health ISAC also issued a threat bulletin warning that the Black Basta ransomware group had recently accelerated attacks against the healthcare sector. So if I go to the threat bulletin, let's see if it says how they're doing it. So as that continues, that may not open. It did not open. So whatever link they have doesn't work. So thumbs up to that. Okay, so we won't know. All right, from Wired.com, this is kind of one of their weekly wrap-up things. I thought this was a particularly interesting couple paragraphs. Microsoft deploys generative AI for U.S. spies. Hey, I'm all for that. Microsoft has developed an offline generative AI model designed specifically to handle top-secret information for U.S. intelligence agencies, according to Bloomberg. This system, based on GPT-4, is isolated from the internet and only accessible through a network exclusive to the U.S. government. William Chappell, Microsoft's chief technology officer for strategic missions and technology, told Bloomberg that. Theoretically, around 110,000 individuals can access the system. Although spy agencies are eager to leverage the capabilities of generative AI, as they should, concerns have been raised about the potential unintended leakage of classified information, as these systems typically rely on online cloud services for data processing. However, Microsoft claims that the model is created for the U.S. government is clean, meaning it can read files without learning from them, preventing secret information from being integrated into the platform. Bloomberg noted that this marks the first time a major large language model has operated entirely offline. So, I mean, this is a logical evolution of what AI can do, being used on classified systems to do exactly what it does and make research and other things that the government and spy services like the CIA, the FBI, NSA need to do their mission. So this is great. And, you know, at the end of the day, if some of it gets leaked, they will fix it. They will come up with ways to stop it in the future. It won't be like, I doubt it'll be like what Snowden released. But, you know, certainly there's risk to that. But this is what governments need to do to stay on top of, or at least to try to stay even with the bad guys. From HelpNet Security, cyber criminals are getting faster at exploiting vulnerabilities. Well, that's not a good headline. Cyber criminals are targeting the ever-increasing number of new vulnerabilities resulting from the exponential growth in the number and variety of connected devices and an explosion in new applications and online services, according to Fortinet. Now, the good thing they don't think they realize is that all these companies signed the CISA Do Better promise. So maybe things will get better, but this is probably going to be a running joke for me all week. But anyway, the latest semi-annual report is a snapshot of the active threat landscape and highlights trends from July to December 2023, including analysis on the speed with which cyber attackers are capitalizing on newly identified exploits from across the cybersecurity industry and the rise of targeted ransomware and wiper activity against the industrial and OT sector. That's a big piece of this, right? Because the OT sector runs critical infrastructure, critical national infrastructure. These are that does your water, your energy, your healthcare, all that stuff. And so this is a very underserved area of cybersecurity simply because there's just not enough people that really know what they're doing with this. And these systems are old and very vulnerable to being broken when you try to do stuff to them digitally. So it's a problem. But more from the article, attacks started an average of 4.76 days after new exploits were publicly disclosed. That's not good. Based on the analysis, the second half of 2023 saw attackers increase the speed with which they capitalized on newly publicized vulnerabilities, 43% faster than the first half of 2023. This shines a light on the need for vendors to dedicate themselves to internally discovering vulnerabilities and developing patches before exploitation can occur, or mitigating instances of zero-day vulnerabilities. It also reinforces that vendors must proactively and transparently disclose vulnerabilities to customers to ensure they have the information needed to effectively protect their assets before cyber adversaries can exploit end-day vulnerabilities. That's all true. The problem is not enough people pay attention to all this information, right? I mean, obviously, you know, not a lot of people listen to this podcast, so needless to say, they're not able to protect themselves because they don't know that there's patches and vulnerabilities that they need to be fixing. Companies, small and medium-sized companies, have a problem with personnel. Not that the problem is with the personnel, but they don't have enough of it and enough of them that know what they're doing to be able to protect their resources. So this is a good article. It's important to understand it, but again, knowledge is protection. This is what we have to do to kind of go forward. Lastly, the notorious threat actor Intel claims the hack of Interpol. This is from securityaffairs.com. Notorious threat actor Intel Broker, Jesus, claims that Europol has suffered a data breach that exposed FOUO and other classified data. The short article, you can read it if you want. But again, it just goes to show everybody's a target. Everybody can be a victim. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to let you go for this Monday. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more cyber news because it won't fix itself. Know that knowledge is protection. If we can understand the threats targeting us, we can assess our risk. Proceed wisely. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday.
CyberSmart Morning News is written and produced by CyberGuy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren at thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.